is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Doc Esslinger, head men's basketball coach at Caltech, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sokol tonight. And we are back a day early to talk a little
not
NBA.
Not a dollar short though, Mike.
We're not a dollar short. We're always a dollar short, but that's okay. We're going to talk some Eastern and Western Conference Finals. And we're also going to talk some coaching maneuvers and maybe some off seasons for some of the teams who were just eliminated. And we thought,
yes, there's one team we're going to be spending a little bit of time on, Mike.
You think so?
Ja Morant, baby. We have to talk about that clown show.
All right. Well, there's some off court issues that we have to deal with in addition to the on court basketball, which I guess I'm looking forward to the Western Conference series. I'm not sure I'm super excited about the Eastern Conference series. But anyway, are we going to start in the West? You got a game for me? Where are we at here?
For you, Mike. All-time All right, NBA good. And ABA career playoff leaders and records for turnovers, Mike.
Turnovers. Oh, my gosh. All right. So turnovers, man.
Fine.
LeBron.
LeBron's number one. Okay, there you go. When you played as many minutes as he has and you have the ball in your hands as much as he has, there you go. Number one.
All right. Number two. Let's go Magic Johnson.
That's number two. Oh, ho, ho.
All right. Number three. It's got to get a little trickier. But we're talking about guys that have to have the ball in their hands. So Jordan's got to be on there somewhere.
He's 12.
12. See, Michael didn't turn it over. All right. Let's get to – let me think. Larry Bird.
It's 15.
I need point guards. John Stockton.
I'd stay away from the point guards. 14.
Stay away from point guards.
Not point guards.
I found this on the web.
Oh, Siri apparently.
Shaq.
Shaq is number three.
Wow. All right. Tim Duncan.
Number five.
Really? So now I'm only missing number four, huh?
It's a guard. I'll tell you it's a guard.
I mean, I want to lean towards another Spur. No? No, not another Spur.
Another Laker.
Guard. Another Laker. Kareem?
No. Nope. More recent than that, Mike.
More recent. Kobe. Yeah.
It is Kobe.
Kobe? Okay.
Yep. Six right. was yeah, Scottie Pippen. Seven,
I guess if I had Scott.
Six is Scottie Pippen. Seven is Tony Parker. Eight is Dwayne Wade. Nine is Julius Erving. And 10 is the guy who showed up the other night, James Harden.
Nice. Nice. Showed up for what? Was it his prom night?
He showed up for prom night. He showed up for the post game.
I think he probably fumbled the corsage and threw it in the lake when he was trying to go for the photos. I'm guessing that's okay, what happened.
We're gonna put the cart before the horse, Mark. We're gonna start with the Western Conference, right? We said, but we're gonna, anytime we can subtly jab James Harden, we're gonna do it. So.
For all you non-normal
listeners or whatever, we really love James Harden.
We're starting in the West.
Yeah, we're gonna start in the West. So, the matchup that we are presented with is the Lakers and the Nuggets, which is kind of what I was hoping to be the Western Conference Finals back when. Although I didn't really think that it would happen because obviously the Lakers were the 7th seed and they weren't. They didn't show a lot of promise in that first playing game, even though they won. You know, I was like, oh, but they're just playing well. Obviously the Nuggets are playing well. Phoenix was a disaster in that last game.
Do we want to do the postmortem on the two teams that lost?
Well, yeah. We'll get there. Here's my question, Mike. Have we been let down more by two teams in a game, like a elimination game? In back-to-back games, because the Suns were god awful, and then the Sixers were even worse. Like, were those two like sputtered?
The Warriors weren't a whole lot better. The Warriors were not a whole lot better, in all honesty.
And neither were the Knicks, really.
No, you're right. Yeah,
like these were terrible closeout games. Like, they didn't even put up a fight. The Warriors were at least in the game. I guess the Warriors and the Sixers were in the game for the first half, and then they just fell apart completely. The other two, I don't even think there was any hope at halftime, right? I mean, maybe the Knicks were in the game.
Phoenix was down 30 and had given up 81 points. So I would say no, that game was over.
I can't remember about the Knicks. I feel like they were down like 12 or something like that. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was closer than that.
They weren't down 30. How about that? Let's give them credit for that. They were not down 30. They were not down 30.
Yeah. So anyway, so as far as the Western Conference goes, like, I guess let's do the postmortem. Let's start with the Warriors. Draymond officially announced today that whatever happens to the Warriors, he's going to announce it on his podcast, or he said something ridiculous like that. And I'm like, yeah, come on now, Draymond.
He's running the whole franchise now. He's going to make all the decisions.
I don't know. I think Jordan Poole's got. They've got to try to move him. Now, I don't know who they move him to. I kind of liked Simmons'
idea. It's got to be a huge market for Jordan Poole at this point.
I don't know. Jordan Poole's terrible. Like, the Warriors were bad. Klay was god-awful. Like, he was a shell of his former self. Like, I don't even know what they do with that. Steph was really the only thing that even kind of kept him in the game, although it wasn't really that great of a game, but he was trying. Like, and it's amazing that he plays at an all-time level all the time. Like, you knew what he was going to do when he went out there. He didn't have the greatest shooting night. I think it was game five. It wasn't great, but it did enough to help him win.
I think he was 3 for 14 in game five. He wasn't great in game six either, but I mean, they needed him to be game seven, 50-point Steph, and he was just...
He basically needed to be what Jimmy Butler has been, and he's just at 35, and, like, he just can't do that. And the bottom line is this, like, the Warriors are kind of stuck in no man land with the luxury tax and all this, and they really don't have anything they can do unless they can move Poole, you know, and these other pieces. They're kind of, you know... They have to probably sign Draymond, right? Like, I don't see how they can get away with not signing him.
If they bring back everybody, well, Draymond has that player option. So he could re-up for that, which I think is $29 million. And Clay, I believe, also has.
He's going to sign that player option. There's no one that's going to pay him $29 million.
He could go for a slightly less per year deal and sign a longer deal, theoretically. And I think Clay, if I'm not mistaken, has a player option that's at like $43 million. So I'm pretty sure Clay is going to be picking that up.
He's and got with 43 that, reasons too.
Yeah, I think he's gonna take that one. So with that being said, I believe under the new CBA that I heard today on one of the podcasts that I listened
to. Was
it the Simmons one where they said that the tax bill was gonna be $225 million, which is higher than
they called the Lakers, and they were like they said we've got all those minority investors who are gonna be paying all these taxes that they don't have any money for, so I don't know.
Well, that's higher than any other team's payroll. So I think the Warriors are pretty much boxed in terms of they could do things to get rid of salary, but they can't really do a whole lot to improve their team. Now, granted, you could trade Jordan Poole. What's his market value? Next to nothing. I mean, these other teams are watching this guy play, so nobody's really going to want him. Draymond, I think, probably has a market if they wanted to look to trade him. In all honesty, I think probably of all the moves they could make, moving Draymond probably makes the most sense in terms of what you might be able to get back for him. I don't think you're getting anything back for Poole that's going to move the needle. I guess if you bring Draymond back, you're saying, okay, we still have our three core guys that have been with us for 10 years, and maybe this team can still compete. But I look at it, I don't know, I was thinking about this today. One, I've been saying all season long, as people kept saying, oh, the Warriors, like they're a title contender hiding in plain sight, and they have the best starting lineup in terms of net rating across the entire league. And I just didn't see it. There were just, you can't be that bad on the road and be a championship team. You just can't be. And so, and I think back to last season, and they win that championship, but they beat the Celtics, who we're going to talk about the Celtics in a little bit. And I know Tatum had 51 in game 7. And I know we talked about how he had 46 in game 6 last year, but he was 0-for-14 in game 6 in that series against the Sixers. And maybe I'm delusional and maybe he has taken another leap, but I don't think so. I guess my point is that I know Boston ran roughshod over the rest of the league in the second half of last season, but I think that Golden State championship last year, I don't want to say it was a fluke, but I really think it was a fluke.
I think a lot of things broke right.
It was not a powerhouse championship. Let's put it that way. And I just think that was one that they got that I don't want to say they shouldn't have gotten it, but a lot of things had to go right for them in order to win a title. You look at last year and say, okay, Phoenix, talk about fraudulent, but Phoenix last year wins whatever. I think they won 62 or 63 games, something like that, 64 games. And then they go out to the Mavericks. So they're out. You have the Bucks on the other side with Middleton, where I think in Middleton's healthy, say what you want, the Bucks were clearly not very good this year in terms of their playoff performance and the whole Giannis thing. And we litigated that all last week, which we don't have to go back and do again. But I think that road opened up for the Warriors last year in a way that I think that was a title that was one that probably they shouldn't have gotten, if that makes any sense. And then I look at this team this year, and I just don't think they had any real legitimate chance to win a title. So now you're looking at, are you bringing back Clay, Draymond, and Steph with the idea that that team can win a title and you're going to pay $225 million in luxury tax in order to put that team back out on the floor? That seems like a tough pill to swallow. And yet at the same time, right, you understand why, what those guys have done together in their career, that it's hard to be thinking about, hey, we're going to break them up and we're going to trade Draymond, or we're going to sign and trade him, or we're going to talk to Clay and ask him to take a reduction in salary the next year if he ends up staying. And there's just a whole bunch of things. I just don't know what they do. Clearly, Moody and Kuminga are not guys that are going to contribute in any meaningful way to an NBA championship. I just think the Golden State Warriors, as currently constituted, have run their course. And I'm not sure what the options are moving forward. I think if I was Golden State, I would explore what I could get for Draymond and see if there's something out there that could change the dynamic of my team. And I still think that the Draymond Jordan Poole punch at the beginning of the season, I still think that had an effect. I don't know how you measure that. I don't know what effect it was, but you can't tell me a team goes through that didn't affect them.
A punch, but it wasn't like the Hawaiian punch. It was
not Hawaiian punch.
Oh man, Hawaiian punch is so good though.
It was a green punch. It was a green punch.
Anyways, yeah, I just don't see, I don't know what they're gonna do. They're kind of, like you said, boxed in a sense. So they're gonna have to make, right?
They're not title contenders anymore. The run for this group, these three guys are never sniffing an NBA title again.
I agree.
Individually. Now they could. Look, Curry could still playing at the level, as you said earlier, still playing at a great level. He could find somehow Golden State figures out a way to put a title team around him. But this version of the Golden State Warriors is not winning another title. I think in all honesty, they got one more than they should have.
Yeah. Okay. So let's also talk about this. Like, Steph's 35, right? 35? Okay.
34, 35. I can't remember.
I think he's 35. He's been injury prone-ish, right? Like, he's missed significant time.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit lately.
So my question is, how many more seasons do you legitimately have with him? Like, he's not...
As Steph Curry or as Steph Curry?
B?
As Steph Curry as we know him, or Steph Curry going into a second phase of his career?
I mean, he's kind of already there, right? A little bit, maybe
two more. I think you have two more seasons, maybe at most, okay, of him playing at this type of all NBA level.
Okay, that's legitimate.
I just don't think there's not time.
No, I just have a feeling that Father Time's not going to be as kind to Steph Curry as he's been to LeBron.
Maybe not, but shooting doesn't go away.
That's true. I mean, I guess, but the amount of minutes he's
played, he's not going to be able to move without the ball the way he does and some of those things.
He relies on the movement.
He does. But the fact of the matter is that shooting doesn't disappear.
He'll still be able to shoot it.
He's going to be able to shoot it for a long time. Yeah. The question is, can he warp defenses and do the things that he does without the ability to move the way that he currently is moving?
We'll never know. So who's going to be off the team for the Warriors? Is it Draymond? Is it Jordan Poole? Who is it?
I think both of those guys are gone.
Okay, so where do
I think
we
Draymond
want them
either
to go?
Leaves? Draymond either opts out. Draymond either opts out and goes somewhere, or they sign and trade him. And I think Poole is just a cost-cutting measure. You try to dump him for whatever you can get back, even if you're taking back maybe some contracts that you're not super excited about. I just think that I don't know what Poole – yeah, if I was Golden State, I would move on from Jordan Poole.
Jordan Poole to Indiana, Draymond Green to Detroit, and we can have Malice in the Palace 2.0.
All right, let's do it.
Count you in. All right. So then I guess let's go to the other Western Conference team that's out. The Phoenix Suns, who since they've lost, they have fired Monty Williams. Matt Ishbia's got brand new owner syndrome. They spent a lot of money to get Durant. They gave up all the pieces, parts, and here we are. And the solutions that I'm hearing talked about is trade Chris Paul for Kyrie Irving. What? Wait a second.
Okay. Look, if they do that, if Durant signs off on that, or they don't consult Durant on that, look, I'm already out on Durant. I'm way, way, way out on Durant. I've been out on him for a while now. And this would, if that craziness were to somehow happen, I would be so far out. I don't even, I mean, you know, whatever, close the door and I'd be sprinting away from my house as fast as I could go.
If Kyrie Irving, listen, this would be the most idiotic thing I've ever heard in my life. You just left, you just requested to get out, okay, of a situation, essentially, that he created by his craziness. And now you're going to welcome him back? I mean, it is a cycle of...
I don't see that. I don't see that happening. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I know people like to speculate about that, and there's a lot of talk out there.
I mean, I can't see that. I think it's clear that that Kyrie's going to end up in L.A. if they really want it to happen. I think he's going to end up in L.A. if he really wants it to happen. Right? With LeBron again?
That wouldn't surprise me nearly as much as him going to Phoenix would. I think with the Lakers, you can see where it at least theoretically makes sense. In Phoenix, that makes no sense.
LeBron could keep his thumb on Kyrie a little bit. I think Kyrie would be respectful to LeBron because LeBron's been there and he's done that and he's already worked with Kyrie before. And it was probably the best years of Kyrie's career, right? I mean, let's be honest. It's been not so good since he left Cleveland. So, I mean, still been good, but not like...
Right. Not winning.
So anyways, so the Suns are in a situation where, you know, I don't know what they do for hires. I saw Budenholzer was a candidate. I laughed. Who else did I see?
Steve Nash.
He would not go back there. Come on now. That can't be true.
He's the franchise's favorite son. If you're gonna bring back Kyrie,
why would you go back to Durant?
I would hire Nash, bring in Kyrie. Let's get the band back together, man.
Is that a serious thing? Wait, Steve Nash to the
There's a history. No. I'm just making that up. That would be a lot of fun. Get those guys. There was so much winning that they did together in Brooklyn that why wouldn't you want to reunite in the Valley of the Sun? That'd be fun.
Yeah. I also heard that just the whole Ishbia thing seems a little bit off, maybe a little bit. Maybe he seems more psycho.
Tom Izzo?
He looks if Tom Izzo teaches their players how to flop like Ishbia did, when he got
I got a name for you. They got a Michigan State connection. He's one of your favorite follows on Twitter. Former NBA coach.
Okay.
With ties to Michigan State. It's one of your favorite follows. Magic. Magic. Let's bring Magic back to coach this team.
Oh, I know we're not going there because we talked about Budenholzer. You saw that Mark Jackson being interviewed for the Milwaukee job, right?
Oh.
Mama, oh. There goes that man.
Oh. That would be a horrendous hire for the Bucks. Horrendous.
Yeah.
He hasn't coached in like 10 years.
Well, that was like – that's like the Bill Cowher thing. Oh, Bill Cowher is coming to Cleveland. He's got a house right. in Strongsville. He's going to live
– Yeah, no.
Like, that's not happening.
No.
Anyways.
No.
So the Suns, what do they do, Mike? Like, is Chris Paul on this team at training camp or not?
I mean, I can go back and forth on Chris Paul. Like, there's part of you, I know he's got a $30 million salary that's guaranteed by like June something or other. And then I think $15 million of it is guaranteed. So they could theoretically save half of that money or wherever they trade him to, somebody could release him, pay him the $15 million and be done with him. If you're talking about trading Chris Paul for salary. I guess the question is, and I mean, the answer is already out there. The answer is that Chris Paul is never going to be available for a team that's trying to win an NBA title through four rounds of the playoffs. He's just not. The guy hasn't made it through a playoffs in 6 or 7 years. So
Mike, I have a question
the
for
fact
you.
That
Mike.
Okay. Yeah.
If the Cavs could somehow get him as a backup point guard, would you want him on our team as a backup point guard?
I mean, I guess depending on what the cost is, I wouldn't want him at $15 million a year. If I could get him for the veterans minimum, maybe. I'm not a huge Chris Paul fan.
Max is the veteran minimum. You wouldn't pay him any more than that. Because someone's going to want to pay more than that. I'm just spitballing, because the thing the Cavs seriously lacked was a ball handler, a backup point guard that could run the floor, right? Like, that's one of the things.
You gotta stagger Garland and Mitchell. So I think there's more pressing needs for the Cavs than signing Chris Paul as a backup point guard. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's more pressing needs. Do I think he's on Phoenix? I think there's a decent chance he's probably on the Suns come next season. I think DeAndre Ayton is not on the Suns. I don't know what the market is. I don't know who wants DeAndre Ayton, who really wants or needs a center that is sort of soft and leaves you wanting in a lot of different ways. But I'm guessing that there's teams that look at DeAndre Ayton's talent and his offensive ability to shoot the ball and some of the things that he can do and look at it and say, well, he's been in Phoenix where he's never been more than the, I guess, third option at the best and probably even fourth or fifth option. Maybe if we bring this guy in and he's our second option, maybe he goes from 18 and 11 to 25 and 13, and he becomes a different type of player if we feature him more in our offense. Good luck with that. If you're the team that trades for him, I wouldn't want to be that team, especially paying him at the max salary that he's going to be due over the next. I don't even know if his extension kicked in this season or when it kicks into next year, but he's got 3 or 4 years left on his deal. And that's a lot of money to go to DeAndre Ayton, who I'm not sure is going to move the needle for you winning or losing. But statistically, you could see where teams could make a case for, hey, we should sign this guy because he's put up decent numbers as, like I said, a third or fourth option in Phoenix. And if you make him your number two option, maybe those numbers go up. I just think if he's your number two option, you're probably not going
very far.
Very far. There's probably not a whole lot of places where you're going to go. So my dog agrees.
Special live interruption by your dog. Is he good?
That's it. He's getting it done. I'm sure he's going to keep barking here, but it's all right. We'll see. We'll see what we can do. We'll see.
Tell Meredith she's home now. Let him out. Let him outside.
Nah, she's already in bed, man. She's already asleep.
Oh my gosh, he's college life.
The big thing with Phoenix is, look, this is 2 years in a row that they have completely just not shown up for first a game seven and then a game six on their home floor, and just completely no showed and provided zero resistance. Last year against Dallas in game seven, and this year against Denver in game six. And at some point, I guess the answer is, hey, you fired the coach. So that's one piece of it. Devin Booker didn't have a good game in either one of those two elimination games. Now, he was obviously tremendous in every game in this series besides game six. And so I'm not sure how much of it you can lay at Booker's feet. Although I did enjoy the memes of with the Jokic being added to the Doncic smirk at Devin Booker on the foul line. I did enjoy those tremendously when people were posting those on social media after that game was over. But I think if you're Phoenix, you have to look at it and say, what do we have here? What do we have in Durant and Booker? And look, Durant, it's hard to say that the guy played poorly when he averaged, I think, 30 and 11. But I think Durant's best days are behind him. I really do. That's not to say that he's going to completely fall off the map, but I think the days of Durant being able to win you playoff series and be the guy that just totally controls everything that we saw back when he was with the Warriors, I don't think that guy is coming back. I look at his performance last year against Brooklyn in the first round where they kind of overpowered him. And then I look at this series where Aaron Gordon was bodying him and really did a great job defensively of making him work for everything that he got. And he just didn't feel as automatic. And he's also, he's a guy who it feels like plays better when he's playing off of other great players. Like, he's not the guy you're just going to give him the ball and put it in his hands and let him dictate the action as a playmaker. Yep. Yep. And so I look at Durant as almost moving into a second phase of his career where he's clearly, and look, he slots in. If Booker's your number one, it's a pretty good number one guy. If you look around the league at who those number one guys are, you could do a lot worse than Devin Booker. And obviously you could do a lot worse than Kevin Durant as your number two. But I think if you're Phoenix with everything you gave up, you need Kevin Durant to be one.
On par with Devin. And one on par with Devin Booker at least, right?
Yeah. I mean, you want the Durant that's superstar Durant. I'm just not sure that guy, I don't think he exists anymore. So if I'm Phoenix, if I'm a Phoenix fan, I don't feel very good about my team because I don't like the mental makeup of what's happened to me 2 years in a row with Booker as my number one guy. And I'm not confident that a coaching change is going to make a difference. And I'm a little worried about everything that I gave up for Durant, who, look, maybe he's still very, very close to the apex of his career, but he's definitely starting to slide down the backside of that mountain. And with everything that Phoenix gave up in order to get him, there's not a whole lot of moves that they can make to really improve and get better. And then they're in a situation where they can do whatever they want in the regular season next year. It's not going to matter because nobody's going to trust this team. Right. Nobody's going to trust this team when it comes to the playoffs. Nobody.
Yep. I agree. All right. So let's get to our two winners, Mike, in the preview of the game. So we got
the Lakers. Can we start with the Lakers?
Yeah, sure.
All right. I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
You ready?
All right.
So here's my question. So we spent 10 minutes earlier on the pod talking about the Warriors, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with me, or was I just talking out of my own mouth, that the Warriors this season were fraudulent? Were the Warriors a fraudulent title contender this year in your mind?
Yeah, I would say so. No.
Okay, the answer, so. No?
I'm saying the answer is
does that make
no is the answer to the question you're about to try to ask me.
So does that devalue in your mind the Lakers' victory, who beat the clownish Memphis Grizzlies in round one and then the fraudulent Warriors in round two, and now they're running into what I believe to be the best remaining team in the NBA? Man.
Here's what I'm going to say. Here's my response, Mike.
Okay.
I can see why we can make that assumption. We can connect the dots to that. There's only one problem. There's a guy named LeBron in the Lakers that's been there. He's done that. He went to 8 straight finals. He won the Mickey Mouse championship. Okay. And he's played so well the last 3 games. And I know it was against the Warriors and they're clowning. Okay. And what the Lakers have is a unique situation. They have, obviously, Anthony Davis, as long as he doesn't have to be pushed out of the arena in a wheelchair. And they have LeBron James, who's not 100% at all. Like, I know that, we could say, they're just saying that, but you can tell he's not 100%, right, Mike? You agree with that statement? You can tell he's not 100% playing on that foot?
I mean, I don't know where the foot starts and the aging, changing of his game ends. He clearly does not look like the super explosive LeBron that we have seen through the years. He's not that guy anymore. And yet, he's probably.
Let's break this down. Okay, clearly we would both right now take Jokic as our, if we had to pick players that is left in the NBA, Jokic is our number one, right? We take him one.
Yeah, no question. No question.
Then we're left with, are you taking Butler or are you taking LeBron right now? Because we know we're not taking Tatum, okay? I don't care that
we're not taking Tatum.
So, are you taking Tatum. Are you taking Butler or are you taking LeBron? Because I'm taking LeBron. If I'm purely picking for experience and who do I think has a better chance to get my team over the hump and get to the finals, I'm taking LeBron over Butler. 100%.
I think LeBron with a better supporting cast is a better pick. I think if I need a guy to get me 45 in a game to win a game with a lesser supporting cast, I think Butler probably fits that bill better. But I think if you look at the respective teams that they each play for, that's sort of the situation that they're in. Miami needs Butler to be at his very, very best and score a ton, or they're just going to have no chance in any game. I don't care who they're playing. Now, granted, they were playing the Knicks, who were, let's just say, offensively challenged in that series. And so he had a little bit more leeway. You're not going to have as much leeway against the Celtics if you're Jimmy Butler. You're going to have to score. He's going to have to average 30 a game in that series, 30 yeah. plus, in order for Miami to have, I think, any chance, just because of the two-way factor that Boston brings to the table that the other team, the Knicks, clearly didn't. Then you think about LeBron, and he's got guys on his team that, granted, they're not all going to come through in any one game. It's not like you can be like, oh, we can count on Austin Reeves.
One of them is going to show up. Like, seriously, like one of them shows up every game.
Yeah, they've had enough guys that have shown that they can do it on a one-game basis that somebody else is going to show up. And so if LeBron can get his 25-8-8, AD can get his 20-15, and now you get one more guy that goes for 20-plus, suddenly if you're the Lakers, that's the formula for how you keep winning. And so I'm just asking the question because I still think that when I look at this Lakers team, And again, maybe I'm discounting these guys that we're talking about, right? Maybe I'm discounting Hachimura and Austin Reeves and Lonnie Walker and Schroeder. Maybe I'm discounting those guys. Maybe I'm not giving them their just due, but I just still feel like this roster is shaky. And we know it's shaky from an injury standpoint with AD for sure. And LeBron playing on this foot, and who knows whether he's going to be able to stay healthy or not stay healthy.
We could say this roster is shaky, and I know it's a different time, but the 2018 Cleveland Cavaliers roster was shaky, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question. However,
this roster would run over the 2018 Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes, no, I agree. However, don't forget that 2018 Cleveland Cavaliers team also played a young Boston Celtics team that now, still 5 years later, is trying to get over the hump that they were first trying to clear in 2018 when Tatum and Brown, I guess Tatum was a second year, sorry, Tatum was a rookie and Brown was a second year player that year. I mean, that's a different – you're talking about Denver's a different animal than beating that team in the conference finals.
I completely understand that. But, like, okay, so I know we would take Jokic 1 and we would probably take LeBron 2. If in this series, who would be the next player you would take? AD, right?
I mean, if I have a healthy AD, yes.
The current iteration, not in wheelchair.
Healthy AD, he would be your next pick, yes.
Okay, so then who's after that? Jamal Murray?
Yeah, Murray. Yeah, no question.
And then probably, is it Michael Porter Jr.?
Aaron Gordon, what he does on both ends of the floor.
All right. So, I think this series is going to be better than you think it's going to be. I think this is going to be a good series. Would I be surprised if the Nuggets sweep the Lakers? I'd be very surprised. I don't think that's happening.
I don't think it's going to be a sweep, but I don't think it's going. This series is not going seven. I could see it going five, maybe six. There's no way this goes to a game seven.
You give the Lakers no chance whatsoever.
I think Denver wins the series. You have the combination of Denver having home court, the Lakers having to play at altitude. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that I think they're on the every other day plan for this series. I could be wrong.
I think they're on that for all the series, because now there's not a day off for any of the games, right?
I don't know where the – let me see if I – oh, here we go. So they go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Yeah, so it's every other day. So you're talking about every other day with travel for these games potentially at altitude. I just don't – look, when you look at Nikola Jokic and you see him playing and you look at his body and you look at his face turning all red and whatever, like, I think people think that this guy can't be in great shape and that he can't just continue to do what he does, and yet he does, and he does it over and over and over again, and he's going to play – big minutes. And I just think when you look at AD from an injury history and you look at LeBron being compromised in whatever way he's compromised, whether that's through injury, whether that's through age, whatever, LeBron still is not the guy that he was 3-4 years ago. He's just not. And I think that the only way that the Lakers have any chance is if you think that Anthony Davis can control Jokic to the point where he's not as big of a factor in what's going on the floor for Denver at the offensive end of the floor. And I just don't see Anthony Davis being able to – I just don't see him being able to control Jokic. And if you're not going to control Jokic, which nobody I don't think is going to be able to, which is why I think Denver's going to win the title. I think that his passing and what those other guys do playing off of him, I think they're going to be able to take advantage of some of the things that the Lakers maybe got away with against Golden State. I think Jokic is going to punish that. And I can't see a series where AD holds Jokic down and Jokic is averaging 21 points a game and only shooting 45% from the field. I just don't see it. I think he's too good. And
okay.
Can AD bang with Jokic for 40 minutes a night every other day for seven games?
Yes.
What do you think? I mean, you think he can do that?
I think he can do it.
Really?
I do. I don't have any reason why. I just feel like...
Okay.
I just feel like... Call me 2021 Jason again. Here we go. I'm clouding my judgment. I'm liking the Lakers in the series, Mike. I don't know why. Other than LeBron. And my body.
Come on, man.
I don't know. Maybe it's me hoping. Because honestly, I think, do you know what I really want, Mike? I want a Laker Heat finals. That's what I want. LeBron versus Why? Love. LeBron really? Versus Love. Okay. LeBron okay. versus Spoelstra.
Okay. Okay.
LeBron versus Jimmy Butler.
That sounds like another Dallas 2011 finals for LeBron. That's what I'd be sensing there.
Well, you think Miami would win that series?
I think Spoelstra would get into his head.
Okay.
Spoelstra would figure out a way into his head.
So of the four teams, Mike, of the four teams, and then we probably should transition to Eastern Conference. We're already at 43 minutes.
Yeah.
Of the four teams, who do you think is the favorite to win the NBA title in sports books right now?
Boston.
It is Boston. Plus 100. Okay, who's number two?
Lakers.
No, Denver.
Denver? Okay.
Denver, plus 240. The Lakers.
Okay.
Plus 320. The Miami Heat, plus 1600.
Yeah, I don't think the Heat can win it. I mean, I really don't. I mean, they might be able to beat Boston, but I don't think they're beating Denver or the Lakers if somehow the Lakers would manage. I think going back to my original point, and this is the last thing I want to say about this series, is I just don't think that when you look at the Jokic minutes on the floor, which he's going to play 40 minutes a night if they need him to, if they don't put Davis on him, who guards him on the Lakers roster? There's nobody. I mean, they have nobody. I'm looking at their roster. They have no chance of guarding Jokic if Anthony Davis isn't on him. And I'm just not convinced that Davis can bang with Jokic for 40 minutes and not get completely worn down or hurt. And so, to me, I just think that Denver has too much. The offensively, I just don't see the Lakers being able to stop or slow down the Nuggets. And I think the Nuggets will be able to do enough on defense to be able to hold the Lakers to whatever they need to hold them to, because they're going to score a ton of points on this team. Because I just don't think the matchups are very good for the Lakers.
Okay, that's fair.
And there's nobody. Like, look at the roster. Like, you're going to bring in Tristan to guard Jokic? And they have nobody. They don't even have Mo Bamba. You bringing in Mo Bamba? LeBron? Is LeBron going to guard? LeBron going to bang with Jokic during the minutes that Davis sits? Because, I mean, LeBron's been playing a lot of five.
Would you be surprised?
Different to play the five against the Warriors, where you're guarding Looney or you're guarding Draymond. A little different to bang with Jokic. You're not going to be able to rest. if that's your matchup, you're not going to be able to sit back and just hang out in the passing lanes and try to disrupt stuff. I mean, that's not going to happen. So I just don't think the Lakers have a matchup for Jokic, and I expect him to have just a huge, huge series, and that's why they win. I'm going Nuggets in five. Give me Nuggets in five.
Lakers in six.
All right.
Agree to disagree,
baby.
It's going to go home, 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 road home.
All right. We'll see. I don't think that's happening, but
okay,
we shall see. All right, let's go to the East.
All right, so I don't really have much to say about the New York Knicks, because I really want to talk about the New York Knicks. I don't think they're really going to do anything. I think they're going to be pretty happy. They might try to make a small move. I don't know what they do to improve their team, but there's probably a
Does
move.
Does anybody else want Julius Randle? Is there a team out there that
There's probably a team out there. I don't think anyone's knocking on their door asking for him. But I don't know.
That's the move now that it's Brunson's team, is just to get rid of Randle. And I don't know what you can get for him, but if I'm the New York Knicks, that's the move that I'd be trying to make, is let me explore every option I have for Julius Randle. I don't want to pay him whatever's left on his contract. And to me, he's just not a guy that you're going to win with long term. So why not try to ship him out? Even if you end up getting pieces, parts for Randle, maybe you get some parts that either A, help your team, or B, allow you to make a future trade when you have contracts that can fit into different slots in the salary structure. So if I was the Knicks, that's the one move I would make, is I got to figure out, what do I do with Julius Randle? And preferably I'm shipping him out somewhere and trying to bring somebody else in. Even if it's another guy that has flaws, at least the flaws are different than what Randle is. At least the grass is theoretically greener on the other side. I know what I have in Julius Randle, and I'm not happy with that. If I'm the Knicks, if I'm a Knicks fan or a Knicks front office person, I've seen what I've seen from him in the two playoff appearances in the last 3 years for the Knicks. I don't want any more. I don't want to be in the Julius Randle business.
Okay. Anything else on the Knicks, Mike? Can we just? I want to.
No, again, just disappointing. Just disappointing that the Cavs floundered against the Knicks, and clearly the Knicks, not a good team.
The Sixers, the moment we've all been waiting for. The MVP of the NBA scores 2 points in the second half of an elimination game. And these critics could have given Jokic the MVP. Some guy didn't even have Jokic on the ballot. Give me a break. Get me out of here. Like, going back to a few years ago, I was a big Embiid guy, and he's clearly was better than Ben Simmons, who, by the way, trolled the Sixers hilariously.
Yeah, that was a nice photo.
Go ahead, Ben Simmons. You can't even play on the basketball floor, you idiot. Excuse my calling him an idiot, but he's an idiot. Anyways, the Sixers. Embiid, completely gone. James Harden, as you said, fumbling the crochet into the river or whatever you said. Listen, that's not even the part that gets me, though. Then it was his press conference. Joel Embiid, what do you have to say?
We need some help.
James and I can't do everything. Dude, Embiid, you scored 2 points in the second half.
Can't do anything. I think he meant to say we can't do anything. James and I can't do anything. Not everything. He said we can't do anything. I think he was misquoted.
2 points. And the Sixers scored 10 points in the third quarter, Mike. That's embarrassing. Embarrassing. And here we are. Both of us picked the Sixers to win the series. I don't know if it was reverse psychology. We did a good job, though. Anyways, I think – I'll be super surprised if Doc Rivers is the coach, right? Will you be surprised?
I'm surprised he didn't get fired today. I'm surprised he didn't get fired today, to be honest with you. You can't bring him back. Harden.
Like, you almost can't bring – you might have to blow it up, Mike, after Embiid's comments. Like, what are you going to do? You got 13 other guys in the locker room, and he's saying none of these guys – like, the only reason they were even in game six – for the majority of the game was Gorgui Jang, because he hit those like 4 threes in a row, and he got Embiid standing here saying, we need help. No, like, come on, Embiid. Like, you're the MVP of the league. Act like one. Like, I was so disappointed when that quote came out. I'm like, seriously? But at the same time, I was disappointed, but I wasn't super surprised. Like, I don't know. And the Sixers... I think Harden's gone. I think he's going back to Houston. He misses the ribs and the food. Okay. The buffets. The extracurricular activities in Houston, I think he misses. And I think the Sixers are in not good shape. What a collapse. Because this is not what I wanted. I wanted the Sixers to move on. Not because I like them as a punching bag, and I didn't want the Celtics to win. That's maybe why I'm the most perturbed by them. Like, come on, guys. And they were in the game. It was 55-52 at halftime. I'll be honest with you. I watched the first half, and I turned it off because I was like, I recorded it. I was like, oh, I'll watch it later when I can actually, like, pay attention, because while I was watching the first half, I was like, chasing the kids around yesterday a little bit. So I was like, oh, I'm not really watching it. So I'll record it, and then I'll watch the second half. And then I saw – that's when I texted you and said, 10 points? And that's when I just I can't even believe that I stopped recording the game. I was like, I'm not recording this anymore. I don't want to watch this. So I don't know. I've talked a lot. I'll let you unload on the Sixers, Mike. Go for it.
Let me start by going back to our NBA preview for this season. And I believe every other season that James Harden has played on a team. And my comment always has been, if that is the guy that you are counting on to lead your franchise to an NBA championship, good luck, because it is not happening. And I said it at the beginning of this season. I said it at the beginning of the playoffs. I've said it anytime I've heard, oh, Philly is a legitimate contender. No, they are not. When James Harden is one of your two or three best players, you are not getting a great performance from him when you need it. Now, granted, he had two unbelievable games in this series against the Celtics. Game one, game four, 40-plus in both those games. He was incredible. And in game seven, he was horrific. 5 turnovers, 3 of 11 from the field, 9 points, basically a no-show for the entire game as far as being an impactful player. And you can say whatever you want, and people can try to defend him if you're a James Harden fan, but there is no possible way that anybody could have thought that this guy was going to come through in a big moment. He just isn't. And if I want to win an NBA title, he's not a guy I want on my team. If he wants to go back to Houston and play with Jalen Green and play with Alperen Şengün, great. Let him go back there, play with those guys, try to get the Rockets up to 500. Perfect. But if you want him to win your franchise and NBA title, it is not happening. It is not happening with James Harden. And then the Embiid piece, we all understand why he won the MVP, leading scorer in the league, and finished strong where Jokic kind of faded down the stretch. Giannis missed a lot of games due to injury. Embiid has been politicking for the award the last 3 years. And it's not to say that Joel Embiid was not deserving of this regular season MVP award, because you can make the statistical case for Embiid just like you can make one for Giannis and you can make one for Jokic. I don't have a huge problem with Embiid winning the regular season MVP, but I'll repeat the same thing that I've said about Joel Embiid for the last 5-6 years. Show me in the playoffs that you can play 40 minutes in a huge game and be a factor down the stretch. Show me that you're not going to get hurt. So what did he do in this playoff run? Gets hurt, misses a game, comes back, isn't nearly as effective as he was before. In this game, like you said, 2 points in the second half. Why is that? Why does he only get 2 points in the second half? Is that conditioning? Is it the cumulative effect of the knee injury? I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But if I have to count on Joel Embiid to carry me in the fourth quarter of a playoff game, show me the track record that says that he's going to come through in those moments. There isn't one.
Yeah.
And Embiid is tremendously skilled as a big man. His ability to shoot the ball and his footwork, and when he's locked in, what he can do on defense, he's a tremendous, tremendous player. But in the playoffs, you need a guy who can play 44 minutes and be at his best in minute 44, not just in minutes 1 through 28. And Embiid just isn't there. He's not in good enough shape. Maybe he can't get in better shape. I don't know. Maybe his body. I don't know what the answers are, but I do know that if I was starting a franchise, I would not want Joel Embiid as my number one guy, because he's just not going to be able to come through in those moments. He hasn't proven it, and I don't see where that's ever going to change unless, look, he knows better than anyone what kind of conditioning he's in and what kind of conditioning he needs to be in. But when I look at Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter of big playoff games, I see a guy who is fatigued, who's tired, who's not playing at maximum effort. And as a result of that, he's not able to maximize the tremendous talent that he has. And so, look, none of this is surprising. I'm not surprised at all that Philly lost. Could they have won this series? Absolutely, they could have won this series. But they're not winning a title. You're not winning a title with these two guys. You're just not. If Embiid's your best player, you're not winning a title. If Harden now is your first, second, or third best player, you're not winning an NBA championship with these guys. You're just not.
Yep. I agree, Mike. And it's just disappointing because I just thought they were going to beat the Celtics, and they just couldn't do it. But fooled me again, Sixers.
Are the Celtics good? Are the Celtics good?
I mean, the Sixers had them on the brink of elimination until Tatum decided to show up in Game 6, and then it carried over into Game 7. I don't think they're good. I don't think the Celtics are good. I don't think the Sixers are good. I don't think the Heat are very good. I definitely don't think the Knicks are good.
How bad did we overrate the Eastern Conference through the course of this season?
Well, I mean, let's be honest.
I think I would have taken all four Western Conference teams over all four Eastern Conference teams.
Yeah, and the other thing, I mean, here's the bottom line, Mike, is like Milwaukee, if Giannis doesn't get hurt, I think Milwaukee is more successful and wins, okay? If I know we're talking ifs and buts, right? If the Cavs weren't afraid of the friggin' Heat or the Knicks, I think they give the Heat a run. I think we would have done better against the Heat. I don't know that we would have won, but I think we would have like shown up. Like, I mean, Brooklyn almost beat the Sixers in a few games, and Boston, how many games did it take? Boston had to go 6 games with Atlanta. Like, I don't know. I think it's crazy to me. Like, it's crazy that the Western Conference has clearly shown that their teams are better now. And maybe they're better. Maybe the Western Conference is built more for the playoffs and the Eastern Conference was built more for the regular season. I don't know. I don't know what you think.
I think whichever team comes out of the West, I think is going to be favored to beat whatever team comes out of the East. And I expect the Western Conference champion to be the NBA champion, whether that be Denver or whether that be the Lakers if they somehow get by the Nuggets. Look, the Heat is doing it with smoke and mirrors and Jimmy Butler's just incredible play, especially in that first series. He was a little bit more pedestrian in this second series, but the Knicks were just so bad that it didn't matter. Boston, look, I still – Tatum, kudos to him. That game 7, 51 points, a record, tremendous effort. You can't discount what he did in that game. And yet at the same time, I don't think that one game sample size changes my opinion that I don't think Tatum is a guy every night, day in, day out, going to give you the same numbers that he can give you at any given time and then have an explosion. He's prone to bad games just as he is prone to good games. Whereas I think you look at Jokic or Giannis, I just think that you can pencil them in big games. You can pencil those guys in for whatever their averages are. That's where they're going to be, or they're going to be higher. And I just don't think you can do that with Tatum. I just don't think he's to that level of consistency, which is why I have him one slight tier below the very best in the league. And that's not to say that he's not capable of doing what he did the other day. I mean, he's done it twice in the last 2 years to carry his team to victory in games that they very well could have lost without those type of historic performances. But game in, game out, I just don't think that Tatum is at that same level as the very best superstars in the history of the game. And I think the only guy that's left in the playoffs that's at that level is Jokic. And that's why I think Denver has got to be the favorite. That's why I think Denver is going to win the NBA title.
It's fair. It's fair, Mike. I also don't have much to say about the Heat, Mike. I don't know if you want to say anything about the Heat other than Heat culture. You just want to say Heat culture and move on? Jimmy Butler, amazing. Move on. Like, that team, I don't even understand it.
What they've been able to do with the cast of characters that they have is pretty incredible. I mean, it's a testament to how good of a coach Spoelstra is. It's a testament to what playoff Jimmy Butler has been able to do. And then it's a testament to these other guys that have stepped up and done the things that have been necessary for them to win. And now they have two series wins under their belt. The Milwaukee series was kind of strange with Giannis going out, missing a game and a half, and then coming back. And I almost still can't figure out exactly what happened other than Jimmy was otherworldly. And then you look at this Knicks team, and I mean, they were just so tremendously terrible in that series that it's hard to take much away from Miami winning that series because the Knicks, other than Brunson, were just so bad. I expect that series between Boston and Miami to be a really good series. I mean, I think that despite the fact that on paper, it looks like Boston should be the heavy favorite, I think Miami's going to hang right there. I'm going to go Celtics in seven and then set up a Nuggets Celtics final.
Seven-game series here, Mike, huh?
I think Miami's going to make it tough. I mean, I could see – I think Miami's more likely to beat Boston than the Lakers are to beat the Nuggets.
Wow. Bold claim. I think Boston wins this, and Boston wins this. That's not what I want to happen, but I think Boston wins this, and I'll go six, but
okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's less than that, to be honest with you. I just think Boston's better. As much as I want,
they're clearly better.
As much as I want the Heat to win, Boston's going to win because I'm not going to get what I want. So